Welcome to the I'm Still Here podcast. I'm your host, Heather Jose. In 1998, at the age of 26, I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. It changed everything for us, but I'm still here. And we're here to talk to you about life with metastatic disease. We know it's not easy. We know that there are challenges that never get talked about, but we're here to walk with you through them, to show you some hope, some inspiration, and to help you make a plan so that you can join me in saying, I'm still here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. It is Monday.
Oh, I didn't even know it was Monday. Okay.
I know.
All right.
We made it through the longest month of the year.
Oh, yeah. It is a long month. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've actually had a little bit of sun in Michigan.
Yep.
Is such a nice thing this time of year, so. Right?
It is.
Yeah. Can we just talk a little bit about, like, hot flashes for a second?
Are you having one?
Oh, my gosh. So this is the thing. I, you know, went through menopause so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at that time, like, kind of was like, I'm never going to wear a turtleneck again. Cardigans became my friend because you kind of get hot, get cold. Okay. Like, I understand why older women wear them, you know?
Okay.
But now, the only time that it bothers me is after I shower. So when I shower, like, as soon as I get out of the shower, I want it to be cold. Because, like, my body is, like, still sweating and still...
Why don't you do that cold thing, then?
I have been a little bit. I didn't do it today. I should have done it today. Yeah. But it is. And then I have to dry my hair, and that makes me hot. Like, the whole process, like, I find, like... When I get done showering, sometimes I'm hotter than... It's terrible.
I'm always cold, so I
know. Always. Know. So if we're ever using the bathroom at the same time, you're, like, turning the heat on, and I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, no way. So it's terrible. Anyway, so that's life with hot. I think that's my residual hot flash situation.
Interesting.
So... I don't feel sorry for any of my friends who are now going through it.
Okay.
But anyway, that's me. Mm. So I thought maybe we would talk a little bit about the fact that this podcast is about us and our experiences.
So what brought this up?
So, there was a comment recently on Instagram, and it didn't bother me. I have no problem people, you know, like, saying what they think or whatever. But I had put a reel on that had a little bit of, it was talking about the episode that we did that mentioned what I did for nutrition to change my diet early on. And I had a comment back that said, I'm sorry, this is not accurate. It bothers me so much. When I had my primary, I went vegan. Guess what? It came back.
Yep.
And then I thought, and it says, I thought, screw it. I'm living my life. Drank what I wanted, ate what I wanted. Medicine that averages 18 months worked 5 years for me. And
so obviously this was somebody who was upset that, you know, what she was hearing, it didn't work for her.
Right.
You know, in those. And I understand that. It's this disease sucks. And there's just no way around that. And it is also not a one size fits all.
For sure.
So, yeah, I understand. Now, having said that, we've said this multiple times, and maybe that's a little bit on us that we need to keep saying it.
Yeah.
That we are not professionals.
We are not offering advice.
We are not experts. We are solely talking about what worked for you.
What I chose to do. We don't know what worked.
Yeah.
Let's also say that, right? Yeah. We're not saying, oh, do this and bam, you're going to live.
No, that's certainly not the case.
We wish we could.
Yeah. I've been kind of breaking this down in my mind a little bit and trying to make sense of it. And kind of what I've come to is there's three things that kill cancer. And we've talked about all of them. We, you know, chemotherapy, There's evidence, scientific evidence, that it kills cancer. There is radiation. Absolutely kills cancer in a different way, but it will kill cancer inside a human being and our immune system. We've touched base on all of these, but there is evidence that people out there have done absolutely everything they could possibly do and still died of this metastatic disease. And there are also other cases where people have chosen not to take the scientific route and done the traditional chemotherapy, radiation, even immunotherapy and other therapies, and are still here today. There is science behind attacking this disease, but there is also a lot of unknown still in attacking this disease. So people have asked over and over, you know, with Heather being 25 years out, what did you do? What worked right for you? What? And that's why we tried to have the Five to Thrive series to try to break it down also with us and understand what was it? Well, let's just name everything that we can think of that you did and what experienced. And that's what worked for you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough thing. I guess I also, what I understand being upset. I have had progression in the past. I know how scary that is and how it feels. And it's easy to be defeated and to feel defeated about that. I also have been very forthright that my diet isn't still no meat, no dairy, no sugar. It's, mm-hmm. it's not. Yep. I've been honest with all of it, but I think we all get to choose how we see that stuff.
Yes.
You know, and so
for so me... if those of you who listened to last week's with Heather and Melissa and they broke down the book,
not last week.
2 weeks ago? Was that 2 weeks ago? Oh my God. Okay. So anyway, really, there's a lot to that. And that coincides with what Heather has talked about with the mental side of this. And our brain is by far the most powerful organ. I can't say that enough. And to think that what our thoughts are and how we can do our best to control those thoughts doesn't affect our body, I think is scientifically ridiculous, mm-hmm. that statement is. It absolutely affects how our body works. And specifically what we're talking about is our immune system. And, you know, living in the gain.
Yeah, so the book is The Gap and the Gain, if you haven't, you know, been with us or if you missed a few episodes. But we read it in January quickly. My friend Melissa and I talked about it a little bit. And you have been reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has been impactful to
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. It absolutely, you know, and I'm not through the book yet, but... You know, as I read a little bit at a time, I don't sit down and read for 3 hours. I'm not that kind of person. But I'll read at school sometimes on my prep hour, and it affects me the rest of the day in a positive way. Mm-hmm. It's my outlook on how what I'm doing and how what my thoughts are. And, mm-hmm. you know, the same situation could be taken two different ways. It just depends on how we spin it. That's my words. Mm-hmm. But how we spin it to be a better person. And, yeah.
Yeah. So living, you know, in the gap means that you're kind of always, nothing's maybe good enough or you're not recognizing what you've learned. And sometimes you've learned what doesn't work, right?
Sure.
Whereas living in the gain is kind of working backwards and recognizing what the progress you have made.
Sure.
And it is so applicable to dealing with life in general, but metastatic disease, you know.
And it's tough to live in the game when you are getting treated for metastatic disease. Probably one of the toughest situations I can think of on this earth, besides dealing with a death or dealing with these. It's tough to live, you know, to not fall into the gap. And we all fall into the gap multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with this person who commented, it was evident that their outlook on the medicine, their outlook on the fact that they tried something and it didn't work, completely had them take a step back. And that's just the reality of this. Completely understandable.
Right.
First of all, let me say that. That is completely understandable. And if I was in your shoes, I would probably do the same thing. I hope you have somebody in your life going, hey, there's another way to look at this. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, and I'm sorry this didn't work, but this did work for you, or something worked. We're just trying to say, hey, for those people out there that are interested.
Yeah, for those of you that will feel empowered by, you know, making choices from a dietary standpoint, that's mm-hmm. what it was for me. I felt like I'm doing something. This is helping. I, you know, all of those kind of things. Yeah. That's where it was for me. So anyway.
We're also people who listen to a podcast, read a book, and go, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Ooh, I like that. Oh, I'm keeping that. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. And we do. You know. We don't take everything at face value or fact that we read. We like certain things and dislike certain things, and we take from that.
Yeah.
And that's all we're doing here is if in all of the entirety of our podcast, you got one thing that you're holding on to or that you go, gosh, that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to apply that. Then why was it worth it?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We're all different. So mm-hmm. take what works for you and use it and leave the rest. Or maybe it works for you for a time and then it doesn't and you want to do something else.
Yep.
Fine too. Right? We're just trying to provide you with some resources, I guess. Some things that we did and some hope maybe and inspiration for all of that.
And keep the comments coming.
Yeah.
Seriously, keep the comments coming because it makes us think too on, hey, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Are we doing the right thing? Are we stepping over a line we shouldn't? Should we back up a step? What do we need to do to answer a question like that? Who do we need to bring on the mm-hmm. podcast to help maybe explain those things? It makes the podcast better. So even if you don't agree with us or if you do agree with us, please comment because when you're just talking to a camera, and talking to a microphone, you don't really know what the people listening are thinking. And we would really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, if you haven't, you still have time because there's no time limit on reading mm-hmm. The Gap in the Game.
For sure.
Right?
I highly recommend it.
And
really recommend it for anyone.
Yeah, it's been really interesting.
I've even recommended it to a couple of my high school students because they're in a place where I'm seeing them and their reactions to it, and I'm like, you could benefit from this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Until next time. We'll see you later.
Happy Monday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still here. After all these years, after all these tears I shed. I'm still here. And I'm walking this earth like I should be. There was days that I didn't know if I would be. Stand tall with my feet in the ground and my head in the clouds. Cause I'm still here like I should be. Yeah, yeah, like I knew that I could be. Here we go, here we go.
Everyone, I hope you love this episode of I'm Still Here, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on what comes next. So be sure to rate, review, and follow this show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, especially if you found it helpful. We need all the shares, likes, stars, and love we can get. We'd also love to hear from you. Leave your comments and questions, and we'll incorporate them into future episodes. Have a great day.